You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. If you're just joining us, you can head over to clevelandbrowns.com or the Browns mobile app, by the way, and you can learn about the 11 players that the Cleveland Browns have signed as undrafted free agents. They've agreed to terms with these players, again, as undrafted free agents. And here is the list for more details about them. Obviously, you can head, as I said, on over to clevelandbrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. Dominique Alexander, a linebacker out of Oklahoma. Brad Craddock, former Lou Groza Award winner, is the best kicker in the nation. Yes, the nation. Out of Maryland. Kenya Dennis, defensive back, Missouri. Michael Everett, defensive back, Sam Houston State. J.P. Holt, 6'3", 240-pound tight end from Pitt. Tracy Howard, a DB from Miami. Niall Lawrence-Sample, defensive tackle from Florida State. Mike Matthews, son of Bruce, center, Texas A&M. Kyle Rose, defensive lineman from West Virginia. Patrick Scava, fullback from Georgia Tech by way of Guadalajara, Mexico. And A.J. Stamps, defensive back out of Kentucky. For more information on those guys, obviously, you can head over to clevelandbrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. All right, Gary Barnes, we told you, 94th on the top 100 players as ranked by his peers in the National Football League. NFL Network revealing the top 10 yesterday, or the bottom 10, depending on how you're looking at it. Gary Barnes was number 94. Here's the video package with the audio part, because it is radio, about Big Play Gare.
I feel like Gary Barnes is like the literally under the radar. Like, nobody really knew who he was until you just start seeing all these plays that he's making.
Honestly, I didn't even know who Gary Barnes was when I first saw him. I didn't expect Gary to be that good, to be honest.
I don't mind getting hit. I know I'm going to get hit going across the middle. That stuff I can handle. I can take that stuff. So that's not an issue for me.
Good hit, man. Good hit.
He makes it easy for the quarterback to find him. This is a big catch radius. That's what the quarterbacks call it.
McCown getting a blitz. He's back. Throws. Barnage there. He's got it. Touchdown. You bet he's got it. He always gets it.
Oh, he is unbelievable.
Gary Barnage went from an unknown name to Cleveland's top target in 2015.
He was absolutely destroying people. He's like one of those former basketball players. You know, he's going to use his body to his advantage, and I think that's what he really does well.
His 9 touchdowns tied Hall of Famer Ozzie Newsome for the most by a Browns tight end in one season.
Barnish is just having an amazing season.
If it wasn't for Gary, we wouldn't have had as many points as we did have.
McCown throws it on! Touchdown! It's Barnage again!
We had 3 starting quarterbacks. All of them, he was their favorite receiver.
What a catch down by the pylon!
He is amazing.
For him to stay consistent like he did the entire year, that lets you know how much he's grown as a football player.
I mean, he works on one-handed catches all practice.
McCown back, looking, throws over the middle. Oh, what a catch by Barnage!
He went up with his right hand, tipped it to himself. He's been a human highlight film this season.
He's had a couple catches that were really impressive. There was one in particular where the ball's juggling around, hits his leg, hits his helmet, and he still was able to come up with it.
He's going to fire it towards the end zone. Barnage up in the air, and he battles for the ball. Barnage made an incredible catch in his lap. Touchdown, Browns!
He like caught it between his legs type deal. Yeah, it was crazy.
He caught it between his legs.
How about that? He caught it between his legs. What a catch.
So Josh threw the ball up. We both went up for it. We both fell. And the ball landed right on my leg, and I closed my other leg on it, squeezed it together, and then I pulled it up into my hands and trying to get it to my chest. I just like to think I can do whatever you ask.
That was NFL Network Top 100 Players of the Year, the profile on Gary Barnes. And what a phenomenal year Big Play Gare did have last season. And obviously, I'm excited about the opportunity to see him out there. Randall Telfer, who we didn't get to see much of. Bibtacular, EJ Bibbs, Seth DeValve coming on from Princeton. A lot of excitement maybe at this tight end position. And we know it's a position for this is, granted, offensive coordinators are changing year after year after year. But again, from Norv Turner to Kyle Shanahan to John DeFilippo to Hugh Jackson, as we've had four coordinators in 4 years, which is amazing when you think about it. The tight end has been very well featured in all of those offenses.
It definitely has, and I think that's why we've addressed the wide receiver position with a first-round pick. That's why you and I and many Browns fans are chomping at the bit to hear what's going to happen with Josh Gordon, because I think a tight end doesn't have to be the focal point of your offense. Now, I know it is in New England. I know it is in other places, but as it has been in San Diego for a very long time, but it doesn't have to be. You'd love to have the balance. And I don't think, if you look at the Cincinnati Bengals last year, if you didn't have the wide receivers, Tyler Eifert would have had the season that he had. You know, so they all kind of complement each other. And that's why I'm so excited about what Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown are doing by adding the pieces to hear Hugh Jackson's comfort with Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson. You know, the addition of Corey Coleman, knowing we have Gary Barnidge, maybe Seth DeValve becomes a flex option. We're slowly but surely, under Hugh's umbrella, putting playmakers on the football field. Now they have to go make those plays at the professional level with RG3, Josh McCown delivering the football.
Yeah, they got to see what they can do. 216-578-0850. Coming up next at the bottom of this hour, James Franklin will be with us, head coach at Penn State, who will be able to talk to us about Carl Nassib. You also seen Joe Schobert in the Big Ten as well. We can talk to him about some of the Buckeyes that got drafted as, you know, obviously they dominated the 2016 NFL draft. Quite the day. I'm excited for a little Cinco de Mayo later on. We've got Cavs setting the world on fire yesterday. The Browns adding 11 more people to their addition of 15 new guys. And I want to ask you about Jamar Taylor, because it's a guy that we're not really talking much about. Former second-round pick, cornerback out of Boise State. He's kind of in some ways lumped in with this draft class because he was acquired on draft day. Young guy himself in his fourth season. What's it like for that guy to be coming in new with all of these young guys? And it seems when you look at it, four more DBs added as undrafted free agents. There are going to be a lot of bodies in that secondary.
There are going to be a lot of bodies, and I think more so, it's going to be a lot of new faces, you know, the new faces on this roster. And I think if I were a veteran, it's going to be a little overwhelming. It's not going to be so much alarming, but you're going to go, whoa, you can see and feel the turnover or the direction that this organization is heading. And I think as a veteran, you either latch on to that and thrive in where we're going, or you're going to be left in the dust. So for a guy like him, I think he's a guy who's played the professional football game before. He's going to want to come in, learn this scheme as the rookies have been. He'll be ahead of that curve. You know, yes, he'll learn another new scheme, but he'll be ahead of the curve because he understands the expectations of what it takes to practice in the National Football League,
sure,
to be on a roster, you know, how coaches communicate, how to learn, studying film, what it takes. Those rookies are learning it all on the run. So it's just a matter of time before, you know, and I'm interested to see where he lines up. Is he going to be an outside guy? Is he going to be a backup to K-1? Is he going to compete with K-1? So it's going to be interesting, you know, why we added. I know why we added the asset, because it made a lot of sense. But I want to see where he fits in, because it was a priority for us to make that trade for him.
Yeah, it was. It was something that came together when the timing was right there in the seventh round. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the head coach of Penn State, James Franklin, here on CBD to talk Carl Nassib and the newest Brown member of the Browns at the defensive line position. That's coming up next.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Very happy to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline right now and bring in the head coach of Penn State University, James Franklin. James, thanks for taking time to be with us here today.
Guys, really appreciate you having us on.
Coach, let's talk about Carl Nassib. What are the Browns getting in your defensive player of the year in the Big Ten?
I think you guys are going to love Carl. Not only is he a really good football player, but just a great story. You're talking about a guy who's a pre-med major here. You're talking about a guy who walked on, never started a game until senior year in college, and that includes high school. He was a backup in high school. The late bloomer showed up here at 6'5", 218 pounds, ended up 6'7", 272 pounds, worked himself into a player. Very, very explosive, very, very strong, was a matchup problem. He's a guy to create flexibility. He could put on some size and play, a three technique, could be a five technique, could be a true defensive end. He's got a lot of traits that people are looking for, both on and off the field, intangibles.
And coach, you talked about his size and you referenced him as a late bloomer. Was there anything else really holding him back, or was it just the maturation of growing into his body and then also just getting the reps? And you, as coaches, feeling it's now time for him to get out there on the football field.
Well, I think the first thing is you're talking about a really driven individual, and he had some God-given ability to work with. He had a frame to work with. And he's just so driven. And I think he's a late developer, which, those things don't happen as much anymore. I would compare him in some ways to David Robinson, who goes to the Naval Academy and grows 6 inches after he gets there. He's a kid who developed late in the process, stayed driven, stayed motivated, worked himself into a player. You're talking about a guy who led the nation in sacks, and he missed 3.5 games. He pulled a hamstring and missed 3.5 games. He would have destroyed the sack record here at the school, as well as led the nation by a large margin if he hadn't gotten hurt.
Talking with James Franklin, the head coach at Penn State, Coach Carl Nassib. Coach, can you tell something funny about him? Because this guy, everything you hear is just that he is a good guy, he works hard. Are there any funny stories about this unbelievable success story?
Yeah, I mean, he's a weirdo, guys. I mean, he is a driven, funny, outside the box thinker. I mean, he's a guy that's so driven, he'd call me or text me at 2:00 in the morning, not being able to sleep on a weekday, thinking, telling me how important winning is to him. And, he's a pre-med major, and his personality and his sense of humor. I love him because he's an individual. He understands the team concept, so he won't be an individual in a team setting. But he's a guy that thinks outside the box. He is very, very driven, very, very motivated. He gets it. He's kind of a coach on the field. He's very, very mature. His brother, obviously, is a quarterback in the NFL, played at Syracuse. So, he's a guy that probably, from a college perspective, was wise beyond his years. And socially, things that interested him don't interest most college students. I love him. I love his uniqueness. I love his drive. I love his passion. I love his determination.
Coach, do you believe that, some might say, well, he only had one great year, but in the Big Ten, especially as you dig deeper into that Big Ten schedule, Carl Nassib jumped out onto the scene, but yet was productive each and every week. Is why he was drafted as high as he was and why he can transition to the NFL, almost as a marked man and still be very productive?
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing that you see is he's trending. I mean, there's a lot of guys that show up and have great years as freshmen and sophomores and then level off. This guy's trending in the right direction. And again, his frame and his body is allowing him to continue to go in that direction. The other thing is everybody knew. I mean, he was leading the country in sacks for most of the year. So, people were game planning against him, and they still couldn't stop him. He was productive. He made big plays when the team needed him to make big plays. He was a matchup problem in the running game in terms of coming off and striking tight ends and DNs. He's got enough body control and wiggle and bend to beat people on the edge. He's got violent hands. I think you guys are going to love him. He is what you guys want, blue collar, hard nosed. Yeah. He's going to be very appreciative of the opportunity that you guys have given him there. Not going to have any problems off the field, and he's going to maximize his potential, which most guys don't.
Coach, in a three-man front, where would you see him ideally fitting in here for Ray Horton? And then obviously in nickel situations, we know he's a natural defensive end, but in a three-man front, where would you see him fitting in?
Well, I still see him as a 4-3 defensive end or a 3-4, you know, being able to play the 5 technique.
Okay.
You know, because the thing is, guys, he's 285 pounds right now, and he's skinny. I mean, you know, he's one of these guys, if you want him to put on 10, 15 pounds, he can do it easily and still is going to look skinny because he's almost 6'7". You know, so that's what I think he is. I think, you know, if you change to front up on third down and want to go to a four down front, he's going to be able to do those things at the defensive end. But he's going to be big and strong enough or has the ability to get big and strong enough to play the five as well.
And, Coach, you may have mentioned it briefly already, but just walk us into the player that Carl was and had to be on the practice field. You know, just intense, you know, wanting to earn the right to be out there and start for Penn State and then to continue to work throughout the season to play at the high level, because that is something that has kind of eluded Cleveland in the past with the past regime, that Hugh Jackson's instilling, you know, hard work and the right to deserve the opportunity to get there on the football field.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, the media, you're going to love this guy. The community's going to love this guy. The coaches are going to love this guy because he's had to work for everything that he's been given. You know, was not highly recruited, did not come in with a lot of fanfare, had to earn a starting job, had to earn respect nationally, had to earn respect in our conference, and did it. And, you know, how many times have we seen a guy that's either drafted really high or recruited really high that never lives up to his potential?
Sure.
This guy's the complete opposite. And I don't want you to take it the wrong way. A lot of times when you talk about the try-hard guys all the time, people take it as, oh, he's not talented. That's not the case. This guy is talented and works hard. He's going to create the culture you want in the locker room with the right mentality. He's going to go out. He's going to be one of these guys that when he's a veteran, the coaches are going to be able to say, look how Carl practices. Look how Carl works. Look how Carl takes notes and meetings. He's going to do everything he possibly can, you know, to make you guys all proud there. I think you're going to love him.
Talking with James Franklin, the head coach of Penn State. Coach, in the Big Ten, you ran up against another one of the Browns draftees, Joe the Show Schobert from Wisconsin. As a guy who was coaching against him, what can you tell us about his game?
Guys, I don't want to sit here and talk about something I'm not informed. We didn't play Wisconsin. I've only been here 2 years.
Okay.
We haven't played Wisconsin, so I don't want to sit here and talk when I haven't done the research to talk, you know, informed about it.
Well, that's a very fair answer. We appreciate that.
As you can tell, I got a man crush on Carl Nassib.
Yes, yes.
I'd love to follow back up with you guys a year from now and see what you think. And I'm hoping, you know, for everybody's sake, the Browns as well as Carl Nassib, that when we talk next year, you guys are going to love him as much as I do.
And Coach, you've talked an awful lot about Carl Nassib, and just to briefly discuss the conference in general, I'm a former Buckeye, so obviously, you know, the draft for the Buckeyes and Urban Meyer was very good, not only for Ohio State from a recruiting standpoint, but has to be very good for the conference. As, you know, sometimes the seasons go on, there's the, you know, the SEC domination and the ACC and what Florida State's been able to accomplish. But just talk about what the Buckeyes, Penn State, Wisconsin, putting guys into the NFL and what that does for the conference and recruiting in general.
I wish I would have knew you were a Buckeye at the beginning of this conversation. I'm surprised you're being so nice to me. I just have so much respect, you know, for the conference. I got a, you know, pretty interesting perspective because I came from the SEC. I was in that conference for 3 years. Now being in the Big Ten, I mean, you look at the Big Ten and what the Big Ten's been able to do in bowl games. You look at, obviously, Ohio State winning the national championship. You look at our side of the conference. You talk about Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State all on the one side of the conference. It's as good as any conference in college football. And, you know, I think that's been proven on the field. I think that's been proven in polls. I think that's been proven now in recruiting. You're seeing a spike and a change in recruiting as well. So, yeah, I think it's good for everybody. I think it's good for the game of football.
Coach, one last question for me. What's one player that you have on the Penn State's team right now that people should look out for in the Big Ten and that we could potentially seeing in the NFL next year that you're most excited about?
Well, I don't know about next year, but, you know, obviously there's a buzz about a young man that we recruited here in the state of Pennsylvania last year, Saquon Barkley, and Saquon had a huge year, rushed for over 1,000 yards.
Yep. Physical guy too, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's 5'11", 6', 225 pounds, you know, can make you miss, can run for power. He's got a number of traits that people are looking for physically. He's humble. He's got a chance to be special. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But we got a number of guys that we're excited about. You know, this is our first year back to 85 scholarships. We were 65 my first year and 75 last year. So we're excited. You know, we got a lot of work to do still, but we're excited about the direction.
Coach, I want to ask you, as I look at Carl's game logs from a year ago, one of the big themes here is bringing it every single day, consistency. And you look and you see he had a sack in every single game last year when he was healthy. And I know he barely played against Michigan State, et cetera, but how does he do that week in and week out when you talked about people game planning for him right from the get-go? Did that force him to kind of develop his move set so that he could have counter punches to what teams were trying to take away from him?
Yeah, it's those things, but it's also things that most college guys don't figure out until they get to the pros. It's how do you take care of your body? What's your nutrition like? How much sleep are you getting? I mean, people have no idea how valuable that is, at least college kids. They have no idea. And it's funny, they all go to the NFL and then they come back and you're like, you know, they come back from working with a trainer or their agent getting ready for the combine. And they just talk about, coach, it's amazing. I've changed my diet. How much better I feel. I think, yeah, what have we been telling you for the last 5 years? You know, so he gets all those things. He's gonna maximize the meetings. He's going to sleep right. You know, he's not going to be partying. His nutrition is going to be right. You know, he's going to do all the things necessary for him to come to work every single day at practice. If he can't practice for whatever reason, he's going to be pissed off about it. You know, he's one of them old school guys that, you know, is going to maximize his opportunity. He's going to maximize his potential. And there's not a whole lot of guys that are doing that anymore.
If there was one game that you would want Browns fans to go, because now, you know, people can go to Draft Breakdown and they can get the game-by-game cut-ups of all of these players, that is the definitive Carl Nassib game in your mind, which one was it this year?
You know, I don't know, because it wasn't like that. It wasn't like he, you know, had a flash moment or a flash game that put him on the national radar. You know, the reason he led the nation in sacks and the reason, you know, he got the type of respect that he got is because he did do it week in and week out. You know, it was a crucial times of the game. It was, you know, it was against a MAC opponent. It was against a Big Ten opponent. It was against, you know, week in and week out, whoever we played, where some guys, you look at their stats and they're skewed because maybe they get most of their production from a lesser opponent and then don't show up in the big games. That wasn't really Carl. He showed up week in and week out. So I wouldn't say there's one game to go look at. It really, The thing that makes Carl special, and the reason why I think he's a safe bet in terms of the draft, is because of how he did it. He did it week in and week out with a lunch pail mentality.
He certainly did. Coach, we want to certainly thank you very much for being here. By the way, we had a couple callers earlier who called up and said that they wanted us to thank you for the great work you did at Vanderbilt.
Well, I appreciate it. I really do. And I appreciate you guys having me on. Class Act Professionals. Wish you guys the best. And like I said, let's follow up a year from now. And revisit.
Absolutely. We'd love to. Thanks so much, Coach. Enjoy the rest
of
your day.
Thanks, guys. You too.
All right. James Franklin there, the head coach at Penn State University. Been there for a couple of years, coming from Vanderbilt, where he got a little bit of love from some of our callers earlier in the show. I don't think you're going to find a bigger Carl Nassib fan than his former head coach, other than somebody with the last name Nassib.
No, and as Coach Franklin said, he's been at Penn State for 2 years. That means he's had Carl Nassib for 2 years. So he has started someone over Carl Nassib for 1 year.
Yeah.
And then saw Carl Nassib put his nose down, work extremely hard through the offseason, spring ball, summer conditioning to earn the right to start for that team and produced, which makes a head coach like James Franklin look like a genius.
Yes, certainly does. And now he's got him going at the beginning here of the third round to the Cleveland Browns. All right, when we come back, we'll give you your final thoughts here on this Thursday edition, the Cinco de Mayo edition. I want some guac. I want some tacos. I want some beer. I want some tequilas, fajitas, burritos, enchiladas, chimichangas, churros.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That's all we would do.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs. Gibbs, James Franklin fired up about Carl Nassib, and I loved when he called him a weirdo. That was great.
Hey. A lot of weirdos all come together to be pretty good football players.
And I got
to
say, like, I may come across on the radio as a fairly normal person, but I, in my own right, am weird as well.
I would agree.
Me too.
Thank you. Well, okay, then I come across as a weirdo. Thank you.
Weird is no, weird is the new normal, bro.
And I like being a weirdo.
I mean, clearly, Coach wasn't going to come on and bash him.
No.
Well, no.
No, but
you could tell you can tell when guys talk about guys
correct,
and when guys like, love guys.
And the point
guys.
That I made, Gibbs, is that he's been there for 2 years. He started for one and didn't for another under James Franklin. So he literally had to put his nose down and earn that opportunity and prove to James Franklin that he deserved to be out there.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he was always in his favor, you know, or like his coveted little toy since he walked on campus.
Sure. I totally agree. And I just think that, you know, you get a little bit of an insight into that young man because he's a pretty quiet guy. He's not going to say a whole lot, but clearly, you know, the man's play has done the talking for him. And I thought Coach painted that picture quite well about how well and how far he's come in the 2 years he's been coaching.
Yeah, and Gibbs, in talking about myself being weird, Pat Coyne, whose birthday is actually on Cinco de Mayo.
I love
so
Pat Coyne.
Celebrating his birthday on Cinco de Mayo.
Good for
him. Where are you going today?
Happy birthday, Pat.
Are you guys
said,
going somewhere?
I'll confirm that, yes, you are a weirdo.
Thank you. Thank you for the confirmation.
That's his birthday gift.
Yes. By the way, one of my favorite moments of today's show was you discussing how you would spoil Lakers games for Eric Weddle.
Yeah, it's great.
That was great.
I did it for everybody. Don't TiVo sports.
Either watch them live or don't.
Watch them live or don't.
I'll tell you, the kid often is TiVoing Cavs games, but he puts his phone away, so you wouldn't be able to get him.
Well, now I know.
Yeah, but now you know.
But that's a challenge now.
The second I check a box score to see if the Cavs win, I'm screenshotting it and sending it to the kid.
I've never, you know, I had to like DVR the Masters. I had to leave like halfway through for something that came up, and I literally it killed me. You couldn't pull your phone out. I literally was about an hour and a half behind and losing my mind that I couldn't pull my phone out to see what was going on. If my phone buzzed and it was a text, I made my fiance read it. I said, I go, if it has anything to do with what's going on sporting-wise, and I hate doing it.
You'd have it screened.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. I mean, you know, I don't know. In our youth, you didn't have all this technology. You know what I mean? You
used to have
You have to watch SportsCenter to find out what happened.
My girls are horrified when I'm like, the first year that there was ever email on the internet was essentially my freshman year in college.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. The old BG net.
Yeah, we had it. Emery, I forget even what it was called. It was Dooley or something like that, the email. Yeah.
Like, we had a word processor. We thought that was the real deal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we had one. Yeah, we had a word processor.
I remember sitting in my high school library in 1996, and I had to, like, look something up about the CIA because I was interested in it, and there was one computer that could connect to the internet, and it was, like, Netscape Navigator.
Oh, yeah.
Like the first Netscape Navigator, and it was like 3 minutes load time per page, but it was like the coolest.
Yeah, there were like two. There were two computer labs on campus. There was like one that was open.
Yeah, there were labs, right?
Till like 5 o'clock, and then there was one that was like 24 hours.
Unbelievable.
Thank God, because that bailed me out through 4 years of college.
I'm sure it certainly did. So if you're just joining us, obviously, spent a lot of time on the Cavs. What an unbelievable performance by them. Also, we discussed that the Browns have added to their huge rookie class 11 undrafted free agents that they have come to terms with. Again, that includes 4 defensive backs, 2 defensive linemen, a fullback, a linebacker, a kicker, a center, the son of Hall of Famer Bruce Matthews, and 1 tight end. They will report to rookie minicamp along with the Browns' 14 draft picks on May the 12th. Minicamp will run from Friday the May 13th to Sunday, May 15th. And, of course, minicamp practice on Saturday the 14th will be held at First Energy Stadium as part of Cleveland Browns Fan Fest. So you do want to get out there again and check that out. For full bio on the 11 guys, head to clevelandbrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. All right, we'll be wrapping up our week tomorrow. We hope to have Hollywood Higgins for you. We'll see how that goes. It's being efforted, as they like to say in the industry. We hope to have that for you. But we'll obviously continue to talk your Cleveland Browns. We'll talk a little Cavaliers. And
guys, tomorrow, 1:30, Brent Sobolewski from Bleacher Report.
Oh, excellent. He's been putting out some great tweets lately. Brent Sobolewski from Bleacher Report covers the Browns for them. So we'll have him tomorrow at 1:30. We should have the kid as well. So big show lined up for tomorrow, Mateo.
I'm excited. Great way to end a week.
It's time to go partake.
May 4th.
It's time for
Cinco de Mayo.
Yes. It's time.
The weekend.
Cinco de Mayo things. It is time for those things. The things of Cinco de Mayo. All right, happy Cinco de Mayo. Be safe. Enjoy the tacos and the tequila, everybody. You may see me at Barrio if you're out and about. That's hopefully where I will be or some place serving those things. You better believe I'll be
there. So don't all flood there at once to get Nathan's autograph, is what he's trying to say.
Yeah, that's totally where my head was at, really. For Jason Gibbs, we want to thank head coach James Franklin from Penn State, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. For Gibbs and Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850 WKNO.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.